no better place to begin here on Sunday morning at Old Broadway than with the Torah itself. Vaydibera Nayal Moshe Le Mor Daber La Haron Vial Banav Le Mor Ko Tivarchu Et Pnei Yisrael Amor Lohem. So you shall speak to Aharon and to his children, saying. So Aharon is in the lead. There's no doubt about that. Daber El Aharon and then El Banav, but separated by the El. Ko Tivarchu Et Pnei Yisrael Amor Lohem. So shall you be Mivarech Bnei Yisrael, say to them. So let me begin with a question for Seth. Seth, when we... Oh, did you not wash yet? Did you wash? Okay. So that wouldn't be fair of me. When you say, Ko Tivarchu Et Bnei Yisrael, or when Hashem says to Moshe, Ko Tivarchu Et Bnei Yisrael, what does it sound like we're talking about here? I mean, like... You know, if you had to describe whatever is about to follow, it should be something that's classified as a...
Rough.
Good. Okay. So, so it seems unreasonable to begin with to talk about this in the language of Birkas Kohan, and we refer to it as such. Now, what about the next expression, Amor Lohem?
Is that like a participle saying to them?
Right. So who's the Lohem? Well, have it out. So Igor says what it means is Amor Moshe, say to them. That's certainly a viable reading. We're going to see the Sifrei. But Seth, but I think you wanted to say it a little bit differently.
Because you wouldn't say to the Kohanim, Yivarechecha, because then that would be talking to the Kohanim rather than blessing the people. So, and it's already within the quote of Ko Tivarechu. So, Ko Tivarchu Amor Lohem, you're going to bless them by saying to them, to Bnei Yisrael, Yivarech Lecha Hashem.
Okay, very good. So, those are two absolutely plausible interpretations. We'll see both of those reflected in the halacha. Just one little brief linguistic hayara. Isn't it interesting, this will be for Igor, that you find three different verbs in one pasuk, three different verbs, all connoting different forms of speech. What are they, Igor, in this one pasuk? Three different verbs, right? It's very unusual that you'd have all three of these in one pasuk.
Because it says, you learn and single.
No, you know what?
Paul?
Devar says.
Diber, lay more, and more.
Okay, well, those are, you got two.
All right.
But you got two of the three. Because amor and lay more are the same shorish, but three different.
All right, okay, fair enough.
So, right, exactly. So there's a dibur, right, which is just the communication to Aaron and his sons, that this will be, I guess, entrusted to them, right? And then at the end, right, Amor Lahem, which if you want to interpret it in Igor's direction, it also is, you know, communicate the following to them, but this time not through a Dibor, through an Amira. And in the middle, you have this language of Bracha. So all these different formulations of speech, because, right, I mean, and let's be clear, just because speech, you know, physiologically, you could speak about it, you know, in relatively monochromatic terms, doesn't by any stretch of the imagination mean that fundamentally all speech is the same. I don't just mean, okay, he's raising his voice, he's not raising his voice, but there's different telos to different kinds of speech, right? Right, so even in this one pasuk, you could speak about speech in the informational sense, right? You know, pass along this information to Aharon and to his sons, right? Or you could speak about speech as not informational, but
imperative.
Right. I mean, it could be, you know, you must do this, there's no doubt about it, but that the speech itself is endowed with some higher quality.
A speech act.
Right. Right, ko tivarchu, right. I mean, it has what we would call in the halachic sense of the term a chalos. It has like a standing to it. It's not just, you know...
The magic formula.
I don't like the term magic, but... Right, in other words, it's not instrumental, right? It's not instrumental, right? I think Paul was just doing that to provoke me. But it's not instrumental, right, in terms of, oh, it's merely some kind of, like, passing along information, but that the speech itself is kind of the point, right? Okay, so let's keep that in mind. Let's go a little bit further. So this is the three, you know, what we call the bracha hamishulashes, right? The triad. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. So, one more time. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. God should give you a bracha and be shomer you. Yo'er Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha. Hashem should give you or panav and chen. Right? V'chanosi es asher achon. Type of language. Yisa Hashem panav elecha. Hashem should turn his face to you and to bless you with, you know, what we call the ultimate bracha, the bracha of shalom, external peace, internal tranquility, harmony, peace of mind. You know, it's not an accident that when we pick three psukim, you know, to say right after Birchas HaTorah, this made the cut. You know, these are, you know, celebrated psukim. There's no doubt about it. And then the coda of it all, this one's for Herschel, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avarechem. So let's just take the first clause. Herschel, what would you say the taich is, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael? Taich it up. Okay, but what's good? What should be internalized? Paul, what do you think? Visamu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael. What does it really mean?
That somehow there's some sense of godliness which is invested or implanted in the b'nei Yisrael.
Fine job. Now, somebody want to take Paul's idea, which I think qualitatively is true, and just give it a little teeth. Give it a little teeth by just looking at the psukim and make the observation that there's only one word that recurs in all three of the bracha hamishulashes. Mm-hmm. Seth? What's that?
Nothing.
Right. So now, do you want to just put that together with the last pasuk? What, in simple pshat, what does it really mean?
It means that basically the way in which this speech act of bracha is happening is that it's you're smearing the B'nai Israel with God's name. You're making God's name. You're putting God's name all over.
As he says with the cream cheese right in front of him. Okay, now, Seth, I just want to push you just a drop here. Can you take it one step further? There's one other phrase which repeats itself. It's the only other phrase that repeats itself in the triad, which I think furthers the point.
Panav.
Or panav elecha, right? That the whole idea of the bracha, and we're going to have to get into this in detail, but the whole idea of the bracha is really to put the people into greater contact with the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's the whole idea of the bracha, that the ultimate bracha in life is to be, you know, in a state of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, to really carry God with you.
It's more than that, though, too, because God is doing things for them. He's shomer them,
I'm not denying any of that. There's other aspects, I would even say carnal or material aspects to it. I don't deny it. I'm just asking right now. I'm limiting myself, and I'm saying, what's the dominant motif?
But
those are all there. I don't deny it. But, yes.
To bring them in closer connection, as if they were Kohanim.
Okay, good. So okay, Steve already has something of a theory about it, but let's take a step back and to appreciate the meaning of panim in Mikra. You know, where does this come to a head? Remember, after the Chet HaEgel, God says, I'm taking a step back, and what am I going to do instead? What's the pasuk there, Seth?
It's too possible, but he's going to destroy the people and start over.
Right, well, right. Even after Moshe has placated him, right, he says, Hinei anochi shaleach malach lefanecha. The Jewish people hear this and it says, Vayitablu ha'am me'od. This is bad news. And it was bad news, actually, because instead of the right direct revelatory mode of divine human interaction, right, this is now God taking a step back. Actually, a form of what Steve correctly called Hester Panim. Now, what is Moshe's response? Moshe says, basically, I'll first say it in the English, then we'll quote the pasuk so you appreciate the background. So, Moshe's response is, Im ein panecha holchim al ta'aleinu mizeh. Im ein panecha holchim al ta'aleinu mizeh. What does that really mean? If you don't go, so then we don't want to go. But how does he formulate it? I'm interested in the formulation. Right.
Your face isn't going with us.
Right. So panim means real contact with Hashem. We say that Moshe was unique. Asher yida'o Hashem. Panim el panim. That's the whole idea of deep, intimate contact with God. Now, this is very important in a number of levels. First of all, it tells you what real bracha is, but it's going to be very important. We're going to accrue like a double benefit when we present the main question of today's shir, which is, you know, what in the world does it mean that a human being could ever give another human being a bracha? Right? How is that sensible at all? Doesn't that, on some level, again, this is why we're having this shir, because ultimately we believe there's a resolution, but doesn't that on some level undermine the idea that, you know, the central, fundamental Jewish credo that God is the source of all bracha? Nobody's going to force God's hand in either direction, either lebracha or leklala. Seth Chalmer.
Well, the last pasuk that you underline has the whole resolution, because all you're doing, when it says "Ko Tavarachu," all I really mean is you invoke God's name, and God's the one who blesses. Va'niyavarachu.
Ooh, a man after the heart, perhaps either of the Sifrei or Rabbi Akiva. But is that really what "Va'niyavarachu" truly means? Let us have a look at the Gemara in Chulin Daf Mem Tes. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani Rabbi Yeshaya. Chelev shal gabei keva, the certain kinds of abdominal fats. Kohanim nagu ba heter, Rabbi Shmuel shamar mishum avosav. Rabbi Shmuel gave a heter to eat those fats. Right? Some fats in Judaism are permissible, shuman. Some fats are prohibited. We call those the chelev. You have to be an expert, which I'm not in this area at all, to determine which fats are which. You have to spend a lot of time in front of the inside of animals to know. Even the inside of humans won't help you in this case. Okay, v'simaneich, and a good way to remember this is a little home cooking. Yishmael kahana misayeya kahane. Yishmael, who was a Kohen himself, paskined in favor of the Kohanim. So we say, what do you mean, ma'ihi? Detanya, well, if we're going to call him a misayeya kahane, it means that he has a bit of a reputation for a little home cooking. So, where did Rabbi Yishmael give a little home cooking to the Kohanim, he himself being a Kohen? Kotev Aruchu es b'nei Yisrael, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, lamanu brach lisom pi Kohanim l'kohanim atzman l'lamanu k'sho omer v'ani avarchem evi omer Kohanim avarchem l'Yisrael. V'akadosh Baruch Hu mevarech l'kohanim seth. That Rabbi Yishmael's pshat is v'samuet shemiyat bnei Yisrael. They will do the work of putting my name on the Jewish people, providing the blessing for the Jewish people. But what's in it for them?
It should be just that they're fulfilling the mitzvah. But okay.
Vani avarechem. Hashem blesses the Kohanim. So it sounds like the Kohanim are the ones who are mevarech Yisrael, and God is the one who's mevarech the Kohanim. So if anything, this kind of reinforces the difference between the Kohanim and the Jewish people, right? Because
yes.
The Kohanim get to say, we get our blessing from
the Shem directly.
A higher authority,
yes.
Right?
The answer in the higher authority.
Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Lamanu Brachal Yisrael, Mipi Kohanim. Mipi Gevura Lo Lamanu, Kshomer Vani Avarchem Hevi Omer, Kohanim Mivarchem Yisrael. V'akadosh Baruch Hu maskim al yadam. What does Vani Avarachem mean? It means that I will
validate what they're doing.
Good. So now, Rabbi Kiva does not deny that the Kohanim are giving a bracha. But what he is saying, this is important, is that it needs, you know, the divine gushpanka.
Approval.
So, it's just an absolutely fascinating machlokas about how to read this pasuk of Vani Avarachem. Be well. Oh, we're not losing. Okay. I thought, like, you know, the hospital called. Okay. My mistake.
Now don't be well.
Okay. Exactly. Ne'er do well. This is an unbelievably fascinating machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel about what the whole sequence of events is here, with great implication for A, you know, are the Kohanim and B'nai Yisrael really, are they getting the same bracha? Because according to Rabbi Kiva, the Kohanim, right, are giving the bracha to Yisrael, and Hashem is sort of validating it. But, you know, what are the Kohanim getting? Not so clear. Rabbi Shmuel says, the Kohanim are getting a bracha directly from Hashem. But which bracha? You know, it's sort of this big. So it's a little bit further, Igor. So El Rabbi Kiva, this is the Gemara's problem. It's like, well, according to Rabbi Kiva, the Kohanim are sort of left out in the dry. Mm-hmm. Or in the rain, or whatever. So, bracha l'kohanim minale, Amrav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Mivarvarcha mivarechecha. Because it says in the Torah, all the way back with regard to Avraham Avinu, Lech chomer etzchem lanachamim eis avicha laretz asherareka. Ves chalagoy gadol vavarechecha vagadla shmecha ve'ei bracha. V'avarcha mivarechecha u'mikalelcha o'or. So I will bless those who bless you. So in other words, generically speaking, right, anybody who offers a bracha to the Jewish people themselves gets blessed. So now, well, once Rabbi Akiva concedes that the Kohanim themselves get a bracha, so then in what regard is Yishmael the Messiah Kahanei? In what regard is Yishmael, doing the home cooking? Everybody agrees that the Kohanim get a bracha out of this. So the Gemara answers, Moki la the Birkas Kohanim b'makom bracha di Yisrael. That according to Rabbi Yishmael, Vaniyah Barachayim means that at the very moment the Kohanim bless the Jewish people, the Kohanim get a bracha from Hashem. Mm-hmm. So, but we have to interpret that. I mean, why is that any better than Va'avarcha Mivarachecha? Because we're saying that Rabbi Yishmael gave the Kohanim something a little more than Rabbi Akiva did. So I don't want to get too far into this, but I think Begadol, what it has something to do with is the difference between what I would call like a bracha klali or a bracha prati. That Va'avarcha Mivarachecha means anytime anybody blesses the Jewish people, so God says, a bracha by deer. But when you give the Jewish people the Birkas Kohanim, right, there's some kind of a special bracha that comes along right with that, what I would call a bracha prati. It's endowed with a specific quality. But that's not what I'm keying in so much on for now, it's just a general observation. My point really is that to either of these Tanaim make the argument that the bracha is ultimately coming from Hashem. So possibly Rabbi Akiva, if that's the way you want to understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu Maskim Al Yadam. Not necessarily, right? We agree that could be you could read that minimally or maximally. You could say, all that means is that God's got to sign off from it. It's like you bring the check to the senior vice president. He says, where do I sign? I got to get to my next meeting. Just show me where to sign. Or it means that, he's reading the fine print and really doing most of it himself. So, that could go either way. But it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is more of the divine, playing a role in the bracha than Rabbi Yishmael anyway. But the Bali Tosfos jump right in here and say, it can't be that Rabbi Yishmael thinks that it's the Kohanim unilaterally. So take a look at Tosfos. The Rabbi Yishmael, lo itztrich kora lahachi, depshita kadosh baruch hu maskim, kivan shetziva lahem levarech. That of course a Kaddish Baruch Hu is maskim, even according to Rabbi Yishmael, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is giving his validation. Because after all, let's not forget that the whole circumstance here is begeder, it's all along the lines of a general mitzvah. Right, it's a tzivoy. So in a certain sense, right, not just as Rabbi Yishmael has introduced the, I wouldn't only say that Rabbi Yishmael has introduced the idea of the divine participation in the blessing according to Rabbi Yishmael, but I think he's even flipped the tables that what ends up according to Bali Tosfos is that Rabbi Yishmael, gives a greater role to Hashem than even Rabbi Akiva did, arguably. Because that the Kohanim are really just the
whistle.
Nice.
But there's also an aspect that you have to pick up too, and it's a nuance that you said, you look at the different aspects of dibor, or speaking. So maybe what the Kohanim are doing is really the articulation, the physical articulation, and that the actual manifestation of that articulation is from Hashem.
Quite possibly. And that may be what Rabbi Akiva means. It's entirely plausible. But
because, that was the whole issue of the Sereta Dibrot. We're not going to actually listen to Hashem's voice directly any longer. We're going to have it transmitted.
Good. Okay. And that's really the whole backstory here, is that, right? And let's not forget, just want to take it one step further, is that this whole dialogue is really should be framed in the context of the Egel Zahav. Why? Because whose role was birthed out of the Egel Hazav?
Aharon.
Aharon and the Kohanim in general, right? You think about it, right? Over the idea of Shevet Levi anyway, right? The Bechorim were going to be the Ovdim, essentially, right? Okay, so Igor, can you read the Sifrei for us? Because I think the Sifrei takes a stronger position than maybe even either of the Tanaim, even Rabbi Akiva in the Bavli. Igor. Take us there.
Okay, ואני אברכם, שלא יהיו ישראל אומרים ברכותיהם תלויות בכהניהם, תלמוד לומר, ואני אברכם, שלא יהיו הכהנים אומרים, אנו נברך ישראל, תלמוד לומר, ואני אברכם.
So, what does that translate to? It's a very important sifrei. The sifrei says it would be really bad if the Jewish people thought that their brachos were dependent on or coming from the Kohanim, and it would be really bad if the Kohanim thought that they were the ones who were
blessed.
So, va'ani avarechei means exactly what Seth said it means. Now, we know, you know, we're well informed. We have advanced education in this area, so we know it's not the only way that this was interpreted. I mean, that wasn't the way that Rabbi Yishmael interpreted it, but be that as it may, you know, that's why I said either Seth is a man after Rabbi Kiva's heart or a man after the Sifrei's heart. But I think that this idea comes to its most extreme formulation in the parish of the Rashbam. So, Paul, I'll ask you to read the Rashbam for us. Just by first, please note, as we always do, the Rashbam is... Who is the Rashbam?
Rashi's grandson.
He's Rashi's grandson. He learned with Rashi, and then he was the older brother as well. He's a great Rishon in his own right. But he's a link in the Masorah between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, because his older, younger brother, Yaakov, who he called Jakey. No, I don't know that. He definitely didn't call him Rabbeinu Tam, I'll tell you that much. Right. He said, "Yankel is etzichavek," right? So,
study this Gemara.
Right. So, okay. So the Rashbam says the following. Paul.
All right.
Tavos arosh poni kach v'kach. That you know somebody should get this and that. What's the key word in there? There's one word which should, you know, be highlighted, neon, flashing, every letter lit up. Not like these cheap neon signs where you got letters burnt out. None of that stuff going on here. Hit palalu. What is it? It's not birkas kohanim. It's tevilas kohanim. The kohanim aren't giving a bracha at all. The kohanim are the designated prayers for the Jewish people to be... Bless. Now you could always, so you could ask the question a little bit of a different way. Okay, well, we don't generally believe, you know, our approach is Jew and Gentile alike. Karov Adonai l'chol korav l'chol asher yikru v'emes. Nobody needs somebody else to pray for them. But okay, it's a much lower intensity question than saying, right, that somebody else is actually giving another person a bracha. Even if the clear substance of that bracha, and that's why we started there, you now appreciate why I started the way that I started, by saying that everybody's going to have to agree in the end of the day that the ultimate bracha is to put the people into contact with Hashem. There can't be any doubt about that, but nonetheless, right? The Rashbam is like ultra sensitive to this point, and that's why he says, right, just look at the words, Yivarechacha Hashem. Like the first words are, you can't miss it. Don't think for a second that there's any mevarech here except for Hashem. And if anything, the Kohanim are just mispalalim. That's like a really... Right, you can just... You know, first of all, it reads very nicely. The Rashbam is like totally committed to the Pshat. But at the same time, you know, the theology is profound. Okay, let me just give you one more makor on this basis. And then I want to read to you from the Sefer HaChinuch, which I didn't put here, but I regret not putting here. And then to finish it off with the Rambam. So the Sifrei has the following line. This is a little bit of the ambiguity of Amor Lahem. So let's just review. Amor Lahem, we had a classic Machlokas Igor Seth, right? So Igor came in and said, Amor, what's that?
The halacha is always like Seth, and there's a
Machlokas. Machlokas Igor Seth, halacha Seth.
Seth, don't.
So let's replay.
Because I don't like Igor, halacha will be like me.
Ooh, all right. Igor, so your position was Amor Lahem really means...
To say Seth.
Right. That the Kohanim, right, are being told to say... To
people.
Right.
That was my position originally.
So Igor, you're switching your position. So Seth's position was that Amor Lahem is part of what the Kohanim are being told to say to Jewish people. That's right. Igor's position, correct. Igor's position was, do you remember Igor's position? That Moshe was saying to the Kohanim. So now, actually, and you're both in good shape, so the Sifrei says the following. Amor lahem sheya kol ha-kahal kulo shomeya. That the whole kahal has to hear very clearly from the Kohanim. Amor lahem means the Kohanim have to say very much out loud. Okay, that's Seth. Right, but now, Igor. Uminayin shechazan sarech lomar imru. How do we know that the chazan, as the representative of the Jewish people, has to tell the Kohanim, okay, now you can say it. And by the way, they're not allowed to say anything, talk to the Rambam, until... they're given the green light. Tamalomar
Amor Lahem.
Amor
Lahem.
Lahem.
That's interesting.
So now, according to the second daya in the Sifrei, what would the halachic terminology be here to explain this? What are the Kohanim really getting from the Chazan as the representative of the Kahal?
What's it say? Rishus?
Okay, Rishus, but just you want to just, you know, give it a little bit of a fancier. It's that concept, but we just have a special halachic term that we use. When a person doesn't have any right to do something and he needs to be given license, so Rishut is the Hebrew term, but the halachic term is a matir. You need a matir. So what is this really? Okay, so the very need for a matir reflects what? I would say that one of the ways of interpreting this is that the tenuous theology of having people give, right, ultimately flesh and blood, human beings, exalted, elevated as they might be, as Kohanim, as part of the, you know, rarefied Shevet Levi and the rarefied of the Shevet Levi, the Kodesh Kadashim, the creme de la creme. Nonetheless, part of the tenuous nature, theologically speaking, of having human beings give brachos is that maybe they really need a matir. And maybe that matir is the chazan coming and saying on behalf of the Jewish people, okay, Imru. Now, by the way, we practice it.
And I think that's even more something profound, and it goes back to Egel Zahav and Nadav Avehu. The responsibility of a Kohanim is very circumscribed. His ability to do anything volitional vis-a-vis religious aspects is very problematic. And you see what happens when there's any slight deviation. So what's really saying is that this is really, as you get what Seth was saying, this is a formula because it's not something that the Kohanim are creating themselves.
Beautifully.
They're really being a
beautifully
kind of
done.
Structured.
Beautifully done. I love it. Because you know, when you don't have that element of tziboy, what happens? You get the Nadav and Avihu, right? Nadav and Avihu, b'hakrivam, esh zara, that foreign fire, asher lo tziva osam. And then it's definitionally what the esh zara means, what the foreign fire means is asher lo tziva osam, right? That it's not in fact commanded. Now, fascinating point is that happens, the pasuk, right after the first time the Birkas Kohanim was ever issued, according to many. Because it says that Aaron HaKohen was up there on the Yom HaShemini, the first day of the Mishkan, right? Aleph Nisan, the second year the Jewish people left Egypt, Aharon is doing on the Mizbeach, the Chatz, the Ola Shlamim, and it says, Vayisa Aharon es yadav al ha'am, vayivarachem, right? The Nesias Kapayim, he lifted up his hand and he gave the bracha to the people, right? Vayisa Aharon es yadav al ha'am, vayivarachem. And then right after that is, and then Vayirach Vod Hashem al Kol Ha'am, says Vayar Kol Ha'am Vayaronu, and they gave praise, right? Vayiplu al Pneihem, there was this amazing, you know, like elevation, ecstatic moment, and then Nadav and Avihu got carried away, they went beyond the Tzivoy, and the Esh consumed them. So point really is that, you know, they're circumscribed, there's the need for the matir. And the need for the matir, I think, reflects this idea that, you know, the brachos can't come from any human being. It has to be part of a very carefully defined choreography. Now I'm going to reverse. I'm actually going to read the Rambam before I read the Chinuch, because the Rambam is the one who really gives an enormous, you'll pick up on it, but you'll see why I'm reading the Rambam now. Exactly, that's the right way to do it. Say, why am I deviating from my flight pattern. Okay, so the Rambam says the following. V'al tetameh. Do not be perplexed. V'tomar. And say, Ma to'il birchas hed yotzo. Of what use is this bracha of the hed yot? The Rambam here is paraphrasing Chazal's expression, right? Alti birchas hed yot kal be'inecha. But the Rambam is saying, but maybe you'll really say, birchas hed yot kal be'inecha. I mean, what's the point? Who cares about a bracha from a hedyot? We only care about brachos from Hashem. She'ein kibul ha-bracha taloi be-kohanim elokadosh baruch hu shenemar v'samu shmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarechem. The Rambam is certainly learning the Sifrei here. But let's just review that line. Ein kibul bracha taloi b'kohanim. How is the Rambam reading Rabbi Akiva? Kadosh Baruch Hu maskim al yadim. He's not denying that the ma'isa bracha is being done by the Kohanim. He's not denying that, right? Ko tavarchu es b'nei Yisrael. You can't get around that. But the point really is that the kibul habracha. So that I would call, you know, to use like, I think mostly precise halachic terminology. If the ma'isa bracha is through the Kohanim, the kiyum, the fact that it actually gets, you know, goes through, that's all up to God. And no human being ever stakes a claim to that. There we have a barbed wire electric fence. Nobody's getting into that realm. But he's not denying that the Kohanim are issuing a bracha. This is certainly not which other Rishon, who actually says it's not a bracha, it's something else. The Rambam is by no means the Rashbam.
Yeah.
Right. He still says it's Birkas Kohanim. Yeah. Right. Let's not deny that.
It's a prayer.
Right. What's that?
Rashbam.
No. Rashbam. The Rashbam thinks it's a prayer. I don't think he thinks it's a prayer necessarily. Well, we'll talk more about the Rambam next week. It's still a bracha, but the kibul bracha still depends on Hashem. Now, the Rambam then goes on to explain it, and you'll see what I like so much about this. Kohanim osim mitzvah shenitztavu ba Kodesh Baruch Hu be Rachamav Mivarech Es Yisrael Kechavtzo Kechavatzo. One more. HaKohanim Osim Mitzvah Shenitztavu Ba. Kohanim Osim Mitzvah Shenitztavu Ba. Kohanim Osim Mitzvah Shenitztavu Ba. HaKohanim Osim Mitzvah Shenitztavu Ba. Kodesh Baruch Hu be Rachamav Mevarech as Yisrael kechavtzo. So what does this mean? Kohanim osim mitzvah shenitztavu ba. The Kohanim are doing the mitzvah that they were commanded. So, in other words, what is the Rambam really emphasizing here? Apropos our point. This is why we're reading it now. Is that, what's the whole idea? The only reason that the Kohanim can do this, this is what Steve was saying, this is what Seth was saying, is because they're responding to a tzivoy. Right? Nobody should ever be pretentious enough, to be a self-appointed mevarich. That would be really problematic on many levels. First of all, it'd be arrogant, but it would even be theologically problematic, because what are you talking about? I mean, what do you even mean when you say that, right? So, idea really is, clearly, right, this comes through very strongly, is that the Kohanim are responding to a tzivoy, to a mitzvah, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is maskim al yadim, in the sense that he's going to validate their bracha. But, I mean, if you asked me on the basis of the Rambam, should anybody who's not been given a tzivoy to do so offer a bracha, I would say, you better think twice about it. I wouldn't say that you should offer a bracha. You could offer a tefillah, and that's what we mean colloquially when we say, I'd like to, give my bracha to the chasen and kala. I'd like to give my bracha to, the new home, whatever it is. That's what we mean by the bracha. It's sort of a tefillah that God should be, magnanimous with such and such people. But we don't, hopefully, nobody thinks that they're the ones who's giving the bracha. Right? That would really be, that would really be beyond the pale. So now just to conclude, I want to conclude with the words of the Sefer HaChinuch, which I wish I gave you. I'll just read them slowly here. Because I think the Sefer HaChinuch has some of these ideas. Again, the Sefer HaChinuch is a major acolyte of the Rambam. But I think there's also a little bit of, some formulations here that are really worthwhile and maybe even a little different. Okay, so he starts off by saying, "Nitzavu kohanim sheyivarchu Yisrael b'chol yom shenemar kotivarchu es bnei Yisrael amor lahem." Okay, that's straight Rambam. There are nothing doing there. Mishar she mitzvah. The foundations of the mitzvah are the following: Chafet Hashem b'tuvo hagadol. God desired in His abundant goodness levarich amo to bless His nation. So God is the mevarich al yad hamishartim hachonim tamid beis Hashem. Through His servants who are encamped perpetually in the house of God. So again, you just see here the precision of the formulation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'tuva Gadol Ratza Livareich, but not just unilaterally, but Al Yad. Through a certain group of people who are perpetually in contact with the Beis Hashem. One more time. HaMishartim HaChonim Tamid Beis Hashem. That what gives the Kohanim the right to do this, it's that they are the ones who are most directly in proximity. Now we're talking about geographical, physical proximity to God. But not only that, it's not just about their location, but v'chol machshevasam davka be'avodaso, and all of their thoughts are occupied with His service, v'nafsham kishura. Right, paraphrasing the pasuk in Chumash, nafshu kishura v'nafshu. V'nafsham kishura, and their souls are tied up b'yir'aso, in His awe and reverence kol hayom, all the time. So both, right, on the level of their physical location, as well as on the level of their cognitive preoccupation, as well as the mystical state of their soul being bound up with his awe and reverence, right? These are people who are, in a word, right, like totally ensconced, immersed in godliness. Uvischusam, and through their schus, tachul abracha aleihem, the bracha will devolve upon the Jewish people. Vizbarchu kol ma'aseihem, and all of the actions of the Jewish people will be blessed. Vihi noam Hashem aleihem, and God's pleasantness will be upon them. So the zchus of the Kohanim, and again, what is their zchus? The fact that they're so committed is facilitating God's bracha. So they play this very fascinating role as facilitators of the bracha between God and the Jewish people through some unique, right, zuchus that they have. That's very fascinating. It's like what we talk about, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Like, we're getting brachos because of zuchus avos. It's like what I would call a kind of an analog to zuchus avos. It's zuchus kohanim. Very fascinating idea. So further, v'al titameh, that's a straight Rambam language. But he says, v'al titameh lemor, v'lu chafet Hashem b'rakasam yitzav itam es habracha. Well, why does God need the intermediary? I mean, so if God wants the bracha to go on the Jewish people, so, you know, why do you even need zchus kohanim? Ve'ein tzarech birkas kohanim, ki kvar hikdamti lach pamim rabos, ki bekoach hechsher ma'aseinu tachol abracha aleinu, ki ado baruch hu psucha lakol, shoel, b'yoso mukhshar mukhan lekabalas hatov. Val kein, ki bachar banu mikol amim retza sheniske betuvo, ki siyvada b'siyvada l'hachin ma'asein l'hachshir gufenu mitzosav, So what Sefer HaChinuch basically says is that, look, God is always ready to give brachos to whoever. The only question is, will we really be, you know, in the proper receiving position? You kind of have to be in the proper spiritual position to receive the bracha. So how do we get into the proper spiritual position? First and foremost, by doing mitzvos. But we can always use a kind of a catalyst. Right? And what's the catalyst? What's the catalytic effect here? Shenishal osa al yedei mishartim hatahorim. This apparently helps. Is using, and that God is in fact prescribed for us in his goodness. God is in himself giving us the keys to the kingdom. God is saying, oh, by the way, you might want to put in a little magnesium catalyst. Right? Magnesium is always good catalyst, right? So the magnesium catalyst here is the Kohanim. What's that?
But not in the incense pen.
I stand enlightened. Seth Chalmer.
So the Sefer HaChinuch,
it's an interesting formulation, right? He has a lot of interesting ideas in there in the Chinuch.
But he's going almost exactly opposite to the Rambam in a certain way, because although So the Rambam is talking about kibul habracha on Hashem's end, but Sefer HaChinuch is talking about kibul habracha on our end, or kibul hatov, as a result of the bracha. And he's saying, actually, that kibul habracha is taloi b'kohanim.
Both on us and the kohanim. Because we can, by doing a mitzvah, so we make ourselves sort of...
But by saying that it's this reasoning, that they're always in God's presence, and that they're these holy souls... It's almost as if he's saying, if you had a bunch of Kohanim who were real Rishayim, then the bracha would not be effective. And that's totally opposite, I think, to what the Rambam is saying, which is that it doesn't matter who's saying it. There's a mitzvah, they're Kohanim, they're responding to a mitzvah, that's the important thing. Even if you had a bunch of Kohanim who were total ignoramuses and evil men, they would still be doing that mitzvah, and it would still work as a bracha. And the Sefer HaChinuch seems to be contradicting that.
You are setting this up perfectly for next week. So it's an amazingly, very fascinating formulation, both in terms of what makes a Kohanim Ra'oi for this, and Seth is right to articulate that, you know, if we take this quite literally, that means that, you know, it sort of does depend on it, right? That's one very interesting kind of a formulation. And the second thing is that the Chinuch says basically that God is Betuvo HaGadol, always wants to give bracha. So, you know, the brachos are sort of flowing from on top. The question is, you know, do we have the proper kalim, as it were, to receive them? And interesting thing is, that you would think that would only depend on us, but not so, right? That there's this, what I call a catalyst. There's, I don't want to call it a shortcut because that seems kind of, like almost like a trinket or something, but like that there's a catalyst, there's a catalytic effect when the bracha is mediated through the she'elah. He does use the term she'elah, nishal osa al yidei, right, avadav hamishar simoso, right, who are, you know, geographically and cognitively and emotionally committed, you know, body and soul to his service. Okay, so we're going to hold it up there. And then next week, sure. I'm just going to wrap it up. And then next week what we're going to talk about, and we're going to pick up with Seth's point, is, you know, what is the nature of Birkas Kohanim and how does it relate to the Kohanim's general function? And there we're going to look at the context where it comes up in Mikra. We're going to take a look at Aharon's first bracha, and then we're going to take a little bit more of a look at some of the halachos, especially that last point that Seth articulated for us. Well, like, should this, you know, presumably according to the chinuch, we would really want, right? You know, we're not going to send anybody up there. We're going to sort of, you know, have the. We'd basically want to really say to the Kohanim, you know, choose amongst yourselves. You guys figure out. And the Rambam, will, you know, is a far cry from that. So we're going to hold it up there. We'll pick it up there next week.